Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel from the Sermon on the Mount. Poetic wisdom literature. It's meant to be provocative, invites you to contemplate, and also requires more work from you. But if it's taken out of context, from the other things that Jesus said, it could be read wrong or confusing. Jesus says, don't call people fools. If you call someone a fool, you'll be in danger of hellfire. And then a few chapters later, he himself will call the disciples fools. We must read here in context, recognize what's being taught. We hear the fifth commandment of murder. And then you get an example about being taken to the judge, which is really about how to live with forgiveness, about turning the other cheek. Unforgiven sins will bar entry into the kingdom of heaven. Even sins we quickly dismiss, even sins we don't feel. So examine yourself according to the commandments. Not simply on the outside, don't kill someone, but your heart. Not to hate, not desire harm or that people get what's coming to them. And therein lies the problem. With the Pharisees, with us. How do we stand before God according to the commandments? And the Pharisees had legitimate external self-righteousness. They could stand amongst neighbors and say, I've never murdered anyone. I've never had an extramarital affair as well. Or I'm not a thief. I've worked to keep the commandments. Is that enough? Enough to impress God? With all the commandments ask, is it good enough to stand before God justified? As well, Jesus says, if you heard it said that if you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you, if you look with lust, you are guilty of adultery. It's provocative. It sounds on the surface as though he's correcting Moses or adding to the commandments. Of course, that's not true. Moses and all the Old Testament address sin is not just committed with your hands and your mouth, but with your heart. It's not enough to be righteous on the outside, as Pharisees and us all clean up very well. We must also be pure, holy in our heart. The fifth commandment requires to care for every physical need of our neighbor and more. Every unkind thought or word or anger against your neighbor, as Jesus says, is murder, deserving God's wrath. Repent. We're all guilty of self-righteous behavior. At least all those with driver's licenses. Right? Because driving, it's easy to be self-righteous. How dare that person slow me down? How dare they make a mistake and be on the phone checking messages and not paying attention as though you've never done that? I'm not perfect, but not as bad as them. They deserve a cold shoulder. Self-righteousness comes easy. Live a life of repentance. Humility, gratitude. Wisdom is always humble, compassionate. That's why when you consider your sins that you've made against God in proportion to how others have sinned against you, look how you're abundantly, overwhelmingly forgiven. And show some compassion instead of anger towards others. Jesus speaks, you will never get out of prison until you pay the last penny. An eternal threat. You're meant to live showing mercy. Jesus doesn't say anything there about whether or not your brother has what your brother has against you is just or not. If your mother leaves you a house to you and your brother, and your brother fails to recognize your half of the estate. Sure, you argue for what's yours. He says, I'm going to sue you for it. mercy. The point that you'd say, you know, it'd be horrible if he sued me. It'd be destructive to our family. It might endanger your faith. So I'd rather let you have the house, the money, the inheritance, and then not resent it nor bring it up again. Let you have it all. Because your salvation, my salvation, our bond of love and family matters more. But we all squirm at this because we want it to be fair. We like money. Thanks be to God, he's not fair. Or you're damned. It's called mercy. And I'm not saying that we just roll over and we're a doormat and we keep turning cheeks. Again, this is wisdom literature. It's balanced with other things in Holy Scripture. But this example upholds the reality of putting first things first, recognizing that you are called upon to make sacrifices for one another. You are called to love one another, and not just the ones that are easy to love. I mean, think about what this means in your daily routine, how you must change not just your actions, but your heart towards others. You are not set free from the law's holy demands. You are set free from the law's punishment, condemnation. St. Paul writes, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? No. How can we who died to sin still live in it? And then you get the epistle today. I mean, how great is this? You not know that little Margot today, that you, each of you, baptized into Christ's death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that you too might walk in newness of life. If you've been united to him in a death like his, you shall surely be united to him in a resurrection like his. And that's now. Nothing is more sure and certain in your life than the gifts that God gave you in your baptism. To walk in newness of life, the joy each moment of every day that you've been given. And yes, it is a struggle to live according to God's word, to fight temptations and your sinful reactions and what dwells in your heart. And so endure, you fight, you bear burdens, you sacrifice, and you do not let the world and demons and even your own sinful flesh win the day. Walk in the newness of a baptismal life, resurrected life that's yours now. I mean, you are the reason that the earth still spins and the sun rises. He gives your life immeasurable worth. And so what are you to do then? For a righteousness that will enter the kingdom of heaven, you are to do nothing. It's grace. There is but one righteous man that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, the righteous one, whose work of keeping the commandments perfectly, whose sacrifice acceptable to the Father for all your sins, your wrath, is credited to you. You will stand before God with the righteousness of not your own. It is his, given you. And hell's fire can never touch you. You are what he declares you to be, his baptized child. You are righteous, holy, you are his. In the name of Jesus, amen.